Finally, today we get a couple signings and big signings. Sean Couturier over there in Philadelphia and Svechnikov with the Carolina Hurricanes. Your thoughts on both these deals? Let's start with Carolina, who splashes a lot of cash around, a team that is, you know, historically not known to throw around that kind of cash.
Yeah, Shreddy, they're a team that's got one of those implemented budgets or pre-implemented budgets that they stick to. They're not always spending to the cap all the time. That new owner, Tom Dundon, likes to do things a certain way, even though it draws the ire of some others. And Svechnikov, a guy that's had a pretty good start to his NHL career. I mean, almost a point-a-game guy in a couple of the seasons that he's played in the NHL. I know he's only been around for 3 years, but obviously they see a lot of promise in him. They see him being a pillar in this organization for a long time, and they're willing to open up the piggy bank for him. And you know what? He's got a good thing going with Sebastian Aho. That team playing under Rod Brindamore has put together a pretty strong program. And for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, they should be a respectable team getting into the mix and maybe making a push to the conference finals. And even if they surprise some people and become a Stanley Cup final contender, who knows? It could happen, although it is tough, again, with that budget. But Svechnikov, obviously, highly skilled, brings a lot to the table, and they're making an investment in him. So not surprising to see him get just under $8 million AAV per year, and let's see if he lives up to that deal, because the talent's there, the opportunity's going to be there, and they're going to rely on him a ton going forward.
When you look at a guy like Svechnikov, you know, in his career, the last three seasons, now, let's keep in mind that these years were not full 82-game seasons, but, you know, his first year, 20 goals in 82 games. You know, 2 years ago, 24 goals, 68 games. Last year, 15 goals, 55 games. You know, where do you see a ceiling? Or where could you project a ceiling? Is he a 30, 40-goal, 40-plus goal guy for you at that big body he's got? I think he's 6'2".
Yeah, he is a big body. Strong, obviously moves well, tons of skill. I could see him hitting at least a point a game in the next year or two and maintaining it, whether that's 30 goals, 50 assists, whether that's 40 goals, 40 assists, you know, that's up to him and however it plays out. But yeah, I could see him absolutely getting to 30 goals a year. And I think that that could be the bar for a little while for a guy like him. And why not? Especially as he starts to enter his prime years. And that's dangerous. When you got a guy that's a dual threat that can set up plays and then finish the way he can, and do it with speed, do it with size, doing it with strength, score ugly goals, score pretty goals. Just that versatility is something that is totally coveted. So obviously they recognize that. I could definitely see him, Struds, being a 30-goal scorer for the next maybe 7-8 years. And absolutely, I'll reiterate, point-of-game guy, because him and Aho, again, dynamic duo, 1-2 punch, and if they're surrounded with some excellently skilled offensive players, then absolutely. Maybe he even pushes the 90 mark at some point in his career. And who knows, even hits the century mark. But definitely point of game, I think, is well within reason for this guy. 30 goals, absolutely well within reason as well.
Talking with Thomas Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. Just talked about Svechnikov and his long-term deal. Philadelphia didn't want to be left out of this party, so they bring in, or they extend Sean Couturier to a long-term deal, 7.75 a year. Now, he's coming off a deal in which he was 4.3, 28 years old, two-way centerman. You know, what are your thoughts on this contract when you consider the age of Couturier?
Yeah, he's getting closer to 30. But Struds, this has been a guy that's been a rock solid NHLer basically since he got into the league, or maybe a year or two into the league, where people start to recognize that. I know that when he was drafted and going into his draft year, all the talk was about him being such a strong offensive player, gifted and all of that, but he really took the defensive side of the game and ran with it and became a student of it, and it's defined him as a 200-foot guy. So those guys go a long way. Those guys also come with longevity. Those guys get a lot of respect for that, and he's getting a nice payout too. And it's interesting because he's a guy, unlike Svechnikov, who's probably just getting paid for what he can bring to the table offensively. This is a guy that's getting recognized for what he does at both ends of the rink. PK, winning faceoffs, responsible, probably teaching young guys that are coming into that organization how to play the right way, and they can glean some things off of him. So he's making bank on this one. This is probably going to be his last big payday, because by the time, you know, he gets into the latter part of this contract, he'll probably likely be winding things down. So, you know, a little bit of loyalty there, a little bit of appreciation and understanding what he's done for the Broad Street Bullies and the organization, and he's getting rewarded for it, and nothing but respect for that. And you know what, Struds, it's interesting. Him, like Nugent Hopkins to a certain extent, I think that they can play into their mid to late 30s if they find a way to kind of settle into that third, fourth line, especially in the last couple of years of their deals, and just be totally responsible, respectable NHLers in the bottom six if they transition to that smoothly. And at that point, maybe, you know, let the ego slip away a little bit and let the young kids, the up-and-comers, run with the offensive side of things, and they become those smart, steady defensive players that also are highly coveted and bring a lot to the table. So here's a guy in Couturier that I think is paving the way for that kind of finish to his career as well with this deal.
In 2011, Nugent Hopkins was taken first overall in that draft. There were some other guys like Landeskog, Huberdeau, Larson, Zibanejad, and then you got Scheifele at 7 and Couturier at 8. Couturier signs the deal. It's 2.6 million dollars more per year than Nugent Hopkins. Does that reflect well or poorly on the work the general manager did here for the Oilers in Ken Holland?
Yeah, that's a good question. It probably looks better, and I would put it into the good category for Ken Holland, and you know, give him a win, if you will, in an off season where he's taken a lot of flack or there's been a lot of naysayers. Because I think Nugent Hopkins, you know, although he's not as big as Couturier, maybe he's not as defensively reliable as Couturier, he brings a lot to the table. And last year, really, I mean, he did not have a great year. Yes, it was a down year, and I think he would admit that. And even still, he almost put up 40 points in 56 games, and that's pretty darn respectable. I expect him to bounce back, and I expect him to be a better player this year and more like the Nugent Hopkins that people around town really come to appreciate and love and cheer on. And so, yeah, in regard to the question, I think probably it looks good on Ken Holland that a guy like Couturier, who's more known for the defensive side of his game, even though he does have offensive ability, you know, gets a bigger ticket than a guy like Nugent Hopkins, who you could say is supposed to be kind of a five-tool player, jack of all trades, maybe not master of any of them, but still, I think, you know, you could go, yeah, that looks all right.
Yeah, it's a really interesting conversation because, you know, it's funny. You look at the comments, all bad contract, bad. Like, it's pretty rare for him to say that someone is happy. It's unanimous that everything's a good contract. So, you know, keep those texts coming at 10, 12, 6, everybody. Let us know what you think about the contract comparable Couturier for Nugent Hopkins. Now, you know, it's kind of interesting when you look at the history of sport, and, you know, we're kind of at times focused on the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But you came up with a story that, you know, takes us back just slightly further than even a half century ago.
Yeah. How about MLB, you know, playing in the Field of Dreams in Iowa, a week and a half ago, and that was a cool scene. But they actually played in Egypt in like, the late 1800s. I think it was the anniversary was 130 years ago, as of, like, the 24th of August, where the Chicago White Stockings, I believe it was, went to Egypt, and they played an exhibition game just beneath the pyramids, and absolutely incredible. It was all MLB, or the pro players that were taken over there, and they had to ride, they had to leave Cairo on donkeys and camels, Strutty, with all their gear, and get to the pyramids. And midway through the trek, so other players wouldn't get jealous of their mode of transportation, they had to switch. If you had a donkey, you had to switch to a camel. If you had a camel, you had to switch to a donkey. And, they basically made a makeshift diamond out of the sand, and they said they were kicking up tons of sand, obviously, playing in the desert. And just they took pictures, obviously, too, and it was just this crazy scene in the middle of Egypt, beneath the pyramids, and there you had it, a crazy baseball game. It was a world tour that went all over the place, and tried to promote baseball. And, I mean, I don't know if it caught on because baseball, although, you know, we saw it at the Olympics, it's not necessarily a global sport, although South Americans love it. Obviously, North Americans love it. They play it in Australia, and they love it in Japan, Korea, obviously, as well. But even though that was like 130 years ago, it didn't really take the way they intended, but still a pretty neat story and pretty cool to see. As we celebrate the Field of Dreams, they actually did it in Egypt underneath the pyramids in an absolutely tremendous backdrop.
Tom Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles. You know, you always wonder what athletes do when they're retired. But a former NHLer, a former NFLer, found an opportunity to have an impact on some young athletes recently.
Andrew Luck going and visiting a high school football team and running the scout offense and working with the team's quarterback. How would that be if you had like a Sidney Crosby or a Connor McDavid just show up at your practice and start helping out? Because he was on vacation, he had a connection to the local high school and just wanted to help out for a day. That would be an absolutely amazing experience. And one that struts, you know, we see these kind of cool stories where these athletes, these superstars will go and they'll visit with a youth hockey team, youth football team, youth basketball team, baseball team, whatever. And usually it's set up through a big corporation or something like that. And those are great. Those are fantastic to see. I've had to MC those events, cover those events. You've done the same. But this is one that just genuinely out of Andrew Luck wanting to go and hang out and help out this local high school football team and doing his part to spend an afternoon with them. That's a feel-good story, and it takes the corporate side out of it, which is fine. And it shows you kind of a little bit what the person Andrew Luck is as opposed to the player, you know, usually going out and fulfilling sponsor obligations and stuff like that. No, it shows you he's sincere, he's genuine, and he wants to help out the next generation and wave of young football talent.
Tommy, you know, the Elks game has been postponed for obvious reasons. When, you know, the momentum they did, you know, or would have generated off their last win, what do you think happens with that now moving and you know, assuming they're going to play the next game? Where do they come out of this win, then pause, and then a restart? Where do you think the team is kind of when they hit the ground running?
Strud, so let's look at the positives here. They're going to be healthier because whoever was a little bit banged up after that win in BC last week will have that extra week to recover. Hopefully, of the, 12 guys now, that have been affected by COVID, hopefully all of them are recovered and good to go. Let's hope for the best in that regard. And then on top of that, they're going to have another week of game tape and film to analyze and go over and prep for their opposition when they take on Calgary, because we're heading into the Labor Day game here, and maybe those will be an advantage to this team. The disadvantage is, you're right, you had some momentum. You did a lot of good things in BC last week, and all of a sudden that's all for naught, right? On top of that, are guys going to be rusty? Will the cobwebs start to show up? Will that affect them? I'm sure the coaching staff is going to have the guys as ready and as sharp as possible to be good to go for that game against Calgary. But does that extra week, you know, hinder them somewhat? And then on top of that, do the guys recover? Are they important players? Because they won't put out the list of guys. That's totally a privacy thing, obviously. The guys that are affected by it, are they starters? Are they guys that you need? Will they be 100% and ready to go by the time we get to that next game? Those are some of the negatives, but I think you can take some of the extra time, use it to your advantage, and hopefully implement that into that next game, Struds. So if you're looking at it from a positives point of view, maybe you're healthier, depending on how COVID affects these guys, but all the guys that were nicked up, banged up from the game before, maybe they're good to go. And then you got that extra week of game film to go over and use to strategize for your next opponent. But on the flip side, maybe you're going to show the cobwebs will creep in, the rust, so to speak. But we shall see. I think it might be a slight advantage in this case for them.
One last question for Tom Gazzola, the Gazzola Chronicles. Jamie Elizondo, first time as a head coach. And I wonder if he isn't maybe secretly happy with this pause, just so he can kind of catch his breath, assess what's happened, and rather than just that relentless and endless onslaught of games that feels like you're running on a treadmill, but you're not running as fast as the treadmill's going.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because he probably hasn't had a chance to take a breath and catch himself from, what, late June? He probably rolled into town even before then, got his staff together, set out training camp, the game plan there, went over things with his coordinators, getting things prepped that way. I'm sure he's going to be hard at work. I'm sure the entire staff, Struds, will be at the offices getting ready to go for the next game. But at the same time, without that game there, you don't have an opponent this week. It might give him a little bit of a respite in a time where things are about to amp up in a big way in those next two games. That's going to be his first Battle of Alberta experiences. And you know how people here have expectations for their football team when it comes to the home and home set against the Calgary Stampeders. So a quick little breather for him. Use it to his advantage, like I mentioned with the team as well, and catch your breath. But I'm sure he's hunkered down and probably getting ready for Calgary as much as possible, because these are big games coming up in a shortened season. But maybe a little tiny breather here, Struds, and maybe that does benefit him. He can catch himself, go over some of the things he's experienced in his first few weeks as a head coach, and use it to his advantage, strategize and plan moving forward, and try to get this team in the right direction, back to 500 and hopefully over 500 if you're an Elks fan.
Thomas Gazzola, thank you for this very much. Have yourself a great afternoon. We'll chat with you tomorrow.
Thank you, Stratty. Always a pleasure, sir.